Luke chapter 19. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Good. Put your finger there and turn to Acts. Hey, I have to go with the shift. Don't start crumbling, you'll miss God. Acts 17, verse 23. See what it says. To the unknown God, therefore, one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. This is Paul. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. In verse 27. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they may grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." The Bible says that we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets said. So we live and move. We are the offspring of God. Does everybody get it? He said, you know, the God, the unknown God that you worship, he is the one that we worship, and he is the one that is created. You know, one of the things that they did not understand is that we live and move and have our being in God. So there isn't anything he misses. Hello? One of the things that he begins to do in our life, the Bible says that we are predestined to be conformed into his image and likeness. Amen? So I want you to just step back for a second and realize that if you live and move and have your being in God, he's constantly transforming you into his likeness and his image. In other words, in his character. And in this, he has multi-purposes. But his main purpose and function for me and you is to be like him. See, so many times we go into the arena in the thought of, I've been created to do something, but you've been created to be in his image and likeness. But we get all caught up into doing something that we lose the main point, that everything around us and everything involved in our life is to mold us into his image and likeness. Hello. And there are moves of the Spirit, I'm going to call them shifts. And we've been talking about shifts, and I've shared before about dimensional shifts and all kinds of things. But, you know, when a car is driving a standard and you start off in first gear, you must shift to second gear, don't you? And then sometimes you shift to third, fourth, or whatever. And then sometimes there's a reverse. But in the shifts in the Spirit, God is always in a momentum arena to bring us forward, even though sometimes you believe you're going backward. And the reason you believe you're going backward is because you're leaning on your own understanding. Hello? How many times have you made a mistake? Don't count them. We ain't got all night. There are sometimes your mistakes that were not mistakes. Not saying that all of them weren't. You know, and then the thing is we repent sometimes for years for the same thing. Oh, Lord, forgive me. He's going, for what? For that same mistake I keep making. It's like, how stupid can I be and still breathe? But sometimes a mistake is something that God did a shift in, and you didn't even realize that that decision you made was allowed by God. Hello. We'll go a little bit further on this. Now, go to Luke 19. Do you know that when people are praying for you, it's not the prayer that rescues you, it's the Lord that rescues you. But it's the prayer that allows circumstances for you to get rescued.
Hello?
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, we can all go home now. Luke 19 and verse 41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. And this is Jesus saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your shift or visitation. Does everybody understand that? In this, they could not recognize or surrender to the shift of the Spirit. Does everybody understand this? Why? Because the shift of the Spirit is going to cause a few things. He's going to cause a way of escape. How many times did the Spirit go to Paul and tell him, don't go there, it's not time? Hello? He's going to expose your enemy's tactics. Why? Every time you get it, you cooperate with the shift, these things are going to be recognized. And he's going to bring us to a new level of faith, a new place, and a new strategy. If you cooperate with the shift. Are you listening? Now, a shift is associated with a change of place, position, direction. A change of place, position, direction. Even sometimes a change, an exchange of speed, whether you're to slow up or hasten it. Every shift of the Spirit. Sometimes there's an exchange of things or an exchange of traditions. Things that used to work, that you were trained up with, are now being exchanged for something different. Because the Lord knows what the enemy's next move is. And if you're not following the shift, you miss God. In Matthew 15, and starting at verse 1, then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And Jesus answered and said to them, why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? Ooh. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Then he calls them what? Hypocrites. You hypocrites. First of all, you must understand something. They're because they missed the shift of the Spirit. They missed God shifting. They stayed caught up in their traditions. Is everybody with me? The traditions of men prevented them the shift. And they became bound. They became bound. So when you miss the shift of the Spirit of God, bondage is brought. Jesus came to bring a shift, didn't he? He came to shift the gears for us. And now listen, it was the same season, but a shift in the season. Now I want to share something with you. Now a shift can bring a new season, but you must discern that you're in a season sometimes, and a shift is in the season to continue to fulfill that season you're in. Then there's another shift that brings you to another season. And that's why you must stay close to God so that you don't miss it. That's why fellowship is so important, isn't it? Jesus brought a dimensional shift. The shift was exposing the darkness, and it was bringing light. It was a dimensional shift. Now I want to share with you something important, and this is your part. A shift can be cooperated. In other words, you cooperate with the shift. It can be caused where you are caused to get in the shift, or you can be forced to get into the shift. There's three areas of attachment to the shift. In other words, a flow will either open or shut a door, won't it? A door will either open or shut, doesn't it? So sometimes you have already quickened by the Spirit that you know a shift is coming, and you're waiting for the suddenly. Ah, there it is. And you're in. And you know. Now you're cooperating with the shift. See, but people get bound up by tradition, and they won't cooperate with the shift. So God causes a circumstance in their life so that they step into the shift. Does everybody get it? Or he'll establish something where he forces you into the shift. So those three areas of attachment in the shift. I said attachment in the shift. The other one is no attachment. And the first one is cooperation. The second one is cause. And the third one is forced. David cried out, Lord, cause me to do this. Cause me to do the right thing. Cause me. Amen. And sometimes we're so busy with our foolishness, selfishness, and fleshliness that we're saying, oh, Lord, show me to follow you. Help me. And you're missing the boat every time. And finally, somebody comes over and kicks you in the butt and forces you to get in there. Hello? Sometimes getting in bondage will force you to get into the shift. After you realize you're in bondage, oh my God, I got to do something. We don't want to miss the shift. Now, as you're flowing, you're gonna find that doors will open and doors will shut, right? Go to Genesis 11. So the best thing to do is cooperate, isn't it? It's less bruising. The Bible says God chastens those He loves. You know, did you ever fall in pricker bushes? That's called forced. In Genesis chapter 11, start at verse 1. Would you read it with me? Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves and not for their God. Let us be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there, confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Now that's why there's different languages through the world. Amen. And I want to share something about this shift, because we are in an enormous shift right now. We are in a very, very big shift. The shift will cause a gather, and it will also cause a scatter. Gather of unity to do the greater works, because he said nothing would be what? Withheld from them. So he's bringing unity to do a greater work. Without unity, there can't be a greater work. So he's bringing unity. The shift is bringing unity to do a greater work, that nothing will be. And scatter, I want to share with you, listen, and scatter to bust out walls of traditional churches. There is going to be a scatter. And it's to bust out the walls of traditional churches. In other words, churches are not going to be traditional anymore. Things are going to change. It's to impart the mindset of a church without walls. A reposition shift according to the strategy of the Holy Spirit, to bring the church to another level of attack, transfer of spiritual wealth. And I understand that. If there's spiritual wealth transfer, there's wealth transfer. Again, we are going to be repositioned by this shift according to the strategy of the Holy Spirit to bring the church to another level of attack, transfer of spiritual wealth, exposure of evil, and kingdom alignment. There will be a release of significant signs to the lost and healings to the sick. There'll be such evidence of God's presence. This repositioning shift is according to the strategy of the Holy Spirit to bring the church to another level of attack, transfer spiritual wealth, more exposure of evil. So if you know that there's more exposure of evil, guess what? There's more exposure of you. Kingdom alignment and a release of significant signs to the lost and healings to the sick. In John 14, would you turn there? We are in a big shift right now. There's a tremendous shift. Things are happening. Traditions. The church without walls. You know, Jesus did not belong to a church. He belonged to a fellowship and tradition, but his ministry had nothing to do with a building. In fact, he said to them, "You want to follow me? Listen, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to lay my head." Amen. And John 14, and verse 12, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Well, how are you going to do greater works? Greater works are always a result of the shift. "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, I want to share with you about this greater works. There will be marketplace ministries. Marketplace ministries. You know, I was away this weekend, and I said to my wife, "This is powerful." And as the Lord was giving me some of this information, I began to see it unfold. I mean, I could have stayed in this resort for a month and did nothing but minister. And I wanted to. Greater works are going to establish marketplace ministries. Now listen, Colosseum churches. And they will establish Colosseum churches. Website outreach ministries. The shift is going to interact with the website tremendously. Colosseum churches, marketplace ministry, website outreaches, and integrated fellowships with the same vision. The shift. We are in the shift right now. Listen, the shift is not always comfortable. Sometimes you don't know how you got to where you are right now. Believe me, you either cooperated, caused, or forced. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. "You mean all that I went through brought me here?" Yep. You got shifted. Because the devil wanted to sift you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Is anybody else there? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, let me get there then. Hold on a minute. You know what? This is wild. I went to the right place but said the wrong thing. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you know, I got it written down here, chapter 1. But amen. I got shifted. Is everybody shifted now? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let me, would you mind underlining hardship? I think believers have this deception that everything is tipping toe through the tulips and roses, unbelievable. The Bible says that as a believer, it is narrow and difficult. Yes, Jesus paid the price, and the devil knows it. There will be resistance to everything you try to advance in the kingdom of God and advance in your walk. That's why the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you be it. Hello. Any advancement that you advance in the kingdom of God, once you cooperate, caused or forced into the shift, the enemy will always come against you. Do you understand that? No ground is gained without a fight. There is never ground gained without a fight. If you're a wimp, you become a casualty. Because if you're not in the battle, you're a casualty. Hello. That's why God said, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. It's just not about going to church and lifting your hands and waiting for Mr. Goosebump to show up. Oh, I got touched. I'm new. Yes, and as soon as you get out the front door, you be old all over again. Man, did you see that? Did you hear it? Grumbling, complaining, and everything else. You just forgot about that touch. And somebody else wants to touch you. Same thing when people go through deliverance, they get delivered. As soon as they're done, they pick up every demon in the city. They got a sign, they walk around, that says, for rent. First 2 months free. No security deposit. No credit check. You know why? Because they don't know how to maintain it. They've got the tools, they've got the weapons, but they're stinking lazy. Jesus paid the price for me. He paid the price for you and gave you a sword to use it. This is not about stinky religion. We are in a war. And until we as the offsprings of the commander-in-chief get this in our spirit, you will continue to lose battles. You'll lose your children. You'll lose everything. And you'll keep blaming God. Why didn't he do it? And he's saying, why didn't you do it? Why did you reject my knowledge? Why did you reject my teaching? Why did you reject my spirit? The Bible says, if you reject his law, he rejects what? You, your children. Amen? Listen, the enemy is not going to just let you slide by. He won't. You've got to fight. And you're going to have hardships, aren't you? Everybody has hardships. If you don't have any, I'll give you a couple of mine. I got a whole closet full. He says, endure what? Hardships. Oh, I can't believe it happened to me. Hallelujah! It happened to you. Oh, God must not love me. No, he loves you. That's why it happened to you. Verse 3, would you mind all reading that with me? You therefore must endure hardship. Hardship. As a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. You must endure hardship. As a what? Good soldier. Not slide ship. Hardship. You must endure hard shift. You must endure hard shift. Glory. As a good soldier. In verse 4, no one engaged in warfare. Are you engaged in warfare? If you're not, I want to tell you something. You are. You may not know it, but you're in warfare. And if you're not in the battle, you are a guaranteed casualty. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he what? Competes according to the rules. Wow. So not only you in hard shift, but you must compete and fight in battle according to the rules. There is no cheating. Endure hardship as a soldier. What's going to be released in this shift is a warrior anointing. You're in it. Well, I don't feel it. Praise God. You will. After tonight, you'll know better. There's a warrior anointing to overcome the resistance. I want to share something with you. The enemy uses a resistance, right? He resists you, doesn't he? Let me share with you what he's going to manipulate you with. Walls of soulish emotions. That's how he afflicts you. That's how he attacks you. By what? Emotion. The first thing he tries to do is bring you to you. Oh, me. You know, it's amazing how everybody feels everybody else's pain. Oh, I felt your pain. Good, take it. It's all yours. See, his a way, remember, demons get fed by emotion. Fear is the number one thing. Boy, you get fearful. Let me tell you, they call up everybody they know. Yo, such and such. Yeah, we're eating filet mignon at such and such's house tonight. Why? They're cooking fear. Some of us have been storehouses. We've been feeding them a long time with emotion, unforgiveness, bitterness, pride, arrogance. All of these things are associated with an emotion, and they get fed by them. And the enemy's tactic is to cause an emotion so you resist the shift of God in your life. Does everybody get it? Remember, if you resist the shift of God in your life, you become bound. Go to John 9. So you don't have to say holy cow anymore. You can say holy shift. You'll change your workplace. Holy shift! We're in it! John 9. Let's start at verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back what? Seeing. Now I want to share something with you. This man couldn't see and still obeyed. You know why? This shift is going to cause you not to rely on what you see. Because there's too much of what you see. Is everybody with me? There's too much of what you see. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Go to verse 31. Now we know that God does not hear what? Sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he what? He does what? He hears. There is going to be a place in this shift where there's going to be a different type of worship. It's radical. Radical worship. Now, it's not about being better or anything like that. Does everybody understand that? It's a different type of warfare. If you notice, we're radical when we worship. Hello? And in this, it's sometimes God will cause the shift in worship so the shift can come forth. Is everybody with me? And sometimes tradition is preventing the shift in worship, so the shift is rejected. And then there's bondage. And there's big buildings and all kinds of other things, but it's the same old thing. The purpose of the shift, remember, is to change you. Hello? It's to what? Change me. What? Into his image. Into his likeness. The purpose of the shift is to what? Change you. Oh, praise God. You know, hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis 4. Genesis 4. Worship is a arena of sacrifice. Amen? And what we want to do is we want to be not only a living sacrifice, but a sacrifice pleasing to God. So when the Spirit begins to shift in worship, what he's doing is he's handing me and you over as a sacrifice unto the Father. Do you understand this? If we reject it, bondage comes. Genesis 4, verse 3. Genesis 4, 3. And then in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat, and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So, Abel's offering was accepted, wasn't it? But Cain was rejected. You got to understand something. They already knew what pleased the Lord in the offering. Why? Because when the Lord released Adam and Eve from the garden, what did he do? He killed an animal. So that was the correct offering that was pleasing to God. So Adam and Eve already knew, didn't they? Amen. And you know they had to pass it on to their children. But one was obedient and the other one was rebellious. Amen? So we see here, now look, go to, well, let's keep reading a little bit. In verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do what? Well, in other words, if you obey, you will you not be accepted. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. Now, what does sin represent? The presence of evil. Sin represents the presence of evil. Why? Because sin was in the garden, right? So the presence of evil was already in the garden. The act of committing the sin is called a transgression, isn't it? So the Lord says here, he says, okay, if you do well, I'll accept it. Just give me the right offering. Amen? But if you refuse it, someone's waiting for you. Somebody's waiting for you. But you should have dominion over it. So even right then and there, he was saying, listen, man, someone's waiting for you, but you should have dominion over it. Why? To do the right thing and give me the right offering. Go to verse 8. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and what did he do? He killed him. Wow. So Cain refused the shift, didn't he? And he worshipped his own way. Abel accepted the shift and pleased God. Does everybody get it? Now, when you reject the shift and you reject the way that God wants you to worship, it promotes flesh. Why? Because somebody's waiting for you. Amen? So jealousy, rage, bitterness, rebellion, all of these things will be right there waiting for you. Amen? Now, go to verse 16. And then it says, then Cain went what? Out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now let me share something with you. Cain eventually left the presence of God. Rejecting a shift will move you from his presence. Because every time you reject the shift, it brings bondage. Well, why does it bring bondage? Because you move yourself out of the presence of God. And then what happens? Rage, jealousy, all kinds of things. You come in agreement with the voice of the stranger real easy. Why? Because you rejected the shift. Remember, the offering, the worship, is the official offering to the Lord, isn't it? So when the Lord brings a shift to the worship, it's for a specific reason, because it's to bring a new shift in your life. Why? To change you more into his image and likeness. Do you get this? See, we get so caught up in what am I supposed to do for God? It's what he's trying to change you into. Go to Proverbs 8. That's why we dance and do all kinds of stuff. And we worship the Lord because we want to be the offering to God according to the shift of the Spirit. Well, I just don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in dancing. That's because you're bound. I don't believe in worshiping the Lord like that. Well, you're an idiot. Because the Bible tells you that. I mean, the truth is the truth. That's what sets you free. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 8 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. I want to read you correctly the way that's supposed to be read. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. That's W-I-T-T-Y. Inventions. That's what it's supposed to read. Are you with me? No, I'm not changing the Bible. You go to the original, it tells you that. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out witty inventions. Are you with me? It's Proverbs 8:12. Now, there's going to be a release of the anointing that God is going to promote for witty inventions. Are you with me? Remember we talked about marketplace ministries and so forth? God is releasing. There is now a website. I forgot what it's called. GodTube. It is prospering like crazy. Why? The Lord gave the man the vision. There's going to be witty inventions. I know some already right now that they're waiting for the patent to get complete. I'm waiting for one to come to me. They already have it all set. I'm just waiting. Hallelujah. So there's going to be a release of knowledge of the anointing for witty inventions to the body of Christ. See, this shift is going to not only bring forth, it's going to open doors for opportunities. That's why we talked about walls of churches coming down. Because it's going to open the doors of opportunities so that you can go into marketplaces and all over with a product that's going to bring a witness of Christ. It will allow you to get into places that you couldn't get before. Amen? Now you got to understand again, the devil is going to come against everything. You will not succeed without a fight. I can guarantee you that. In Proverbs 3, would you go there, please? Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are all of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Fuller revelation will be released in this shift. And we talked about this already, what a fuller revelation will be. Fuller revelation will be released according to the shift. Of course, so it has to be cooperated by revelation keys. Amen? The three keys of revelation. And we have the teaching on it already. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Hallelujah. You will not be able to lean on your peanut carnal mind understanding. Amen? This shift is going to be not according to your understanding. Sometimes everything of your understanding just doesn't make sense. And we have a tendency, if we can't make sense of it, it can't be God. First of all, I don't know anybody who can figure out God. Hello? The whole thing we know about God, it's His love for me and you. And most of the time, we can't even accept it. We try to get in the carnal state of, if I do this, He loves me. Uh-oh, I've been bad. He must not love me. Hello? Thank God His love for us is unconditional. Because if it was a condition, we'd all be in trouble. Amen? See, we're in a place where we must trust in the Lord and not lean on our own understanding. Now, I'm going to go to a prime example of this in Genesis 37. Genesis 37. Are you all okay? Are you getting this? Are you in the shift? Praise God. The shift is here. Genesis 37. Starting in verse 1. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Belial and the sons of, you know, and his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, Israel loved Joseph. Now, Israel is also Jacob. Does everybody get it? So don't be confused by this. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him, could not speak peaceably about him. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers. Bad move. And they hate him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream, which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to mine. Good. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers. You'd think he'd get it the first time. And said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So they told it to his father and his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what does this mean? What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. Now, Joseph was given a dream of the future. Amen? He was given a vision. Now, as long as you don't chase the vision, hello? Because too many people chase the vision and ignore the shift. Does everybody get it? Too many people chase the vision and they ignore the shift. Now, hallelujah. Joseph is a prime example of the three areas of attachment to the shift. A vision always awaits a shift. Are you with me? Why? Because the Bible says the Spirit tells us things to come. When you get a vision from God and you know what's what, you wait for the shift. Does everybody get it? You don't move until the shift comes. When the shift comes, you get in and it begins to prepare you for fulfillment of the vision. When an individual runs for the vision without waiting for the shift, it never will come to pass. Can't. Because then it's built in the flesh. Amen? Now, you got to understand something here. So, this whole thing begins with Joseph getting the vision, right? And explaining it to his brothers. You know, he should have went right to his father and told it to his dad before he went to his brothers. But he was very immature, wasn't he? He was a young kid. So it brought envy and so forth. Now, the first thing that begins to happen, because his brothers hate him now, and they want to kill him. I mean, they just want to get rid of him. And the devil always wants to kill your vision. Do y'all get it? Now, the shift was coming, but there's no way Joseph is going to get it. He's too caught up. So God's going to have to cause something to happen. The first thing that God causes to happen is, would you mind going to Genesis chapter 37? Is everybody all right? Amen. Now, the first thing that happens is that his brothers ended up selling Joseph. Go to verse 27. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. So Joseph got into the shift. Hello. he was like, wait a minute. This just doesn't seem right. It can't be right. I have a vision. But Lord, I want to fulfill your will, but this can't be it. This just doesn't seem right. How can I go and become a slave? Hello? Now, do you think Joseph prayed to go be sold? Do you think he really believed that this was God's will? Hello? Now you can go to 39. Now, I want you to listen to something very important. I want you to put yourself in this place here. Now, you were predestined, right? Before you were born. But you were also born in slavery. Why? Because you were born in sin. Do you see the same scenario? See, Joseph, hello, had to get put into the shift by being sold as a slave. Now, he was brought to where? Egypt, wasn't he? Is everybody there? In chapter 39, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was what? With Joseph. And he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his masters, the Egyptian. Now, I want you to see something very powerful, because it says the Lord was with him. Why? Because he was in the shift. Now, did God cause him to get into that shift? Did he cooperate? No way. You could actually say he was what? Forced. So he was forced into the shift, wasn't he? Sometimes we begin it by being forced into it. Amen. There's three connections to the shift. There's what? Cooperate, caused, and forced. Joseph was what? He was forced into this shift, wasn't he? By being sold by his brothers. Does everybody see that? Amen. Now let's go a little bit further. In verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put underneath his authority. And so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was a handsome in form and appearance, and it came to pass after these days that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lay with me. But he re-what? He what? Who do you think was trying to get Joseph out of the shift? Amen. And he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has in my hand. There is no greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He never said sin against his master. Because in this shift, there, what kept him in there was this reverence towards God, didn't it? Amen? Does everybody see this? Oh, hallelujah. Now, is everybody okay? Now go to verse 19. Now we know what happened, you know. The wife, the demon, lied, tried to get him out of the shift and come against the will of God, right? In verse 19, so it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, I want you to understand, the first area of Joseph was forced into the shift, wasn't he? But did you notice that Joseph, he might have started off with the grumble and complaining, but then God showed him favor. He realized the Lord was with him. Amen? So he was forced in, wasn't he? Now, he was accused of something, wasn't he? Of fornicating with his master's wife. But he was innocent, and the Lord honored that and granted him more favor. But in the shift, God caused him to get to another place. Does everybody understand it? So a circumstance caused him to get to another place. He was not forced this time. It was caused. Has everybody got it? Okay, good. And in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph and all the prisoners who were in the prison, wherever they did, it was his doing. Then the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it what? Prosper. So the Lord was with him. Why? Because he was faithful. Now things are going well, right? Things seem to be cool, you know, but in this, he was challenged, wasn't he? Joseph was challenged, which brought a cause, and that's how he got in there. Does everybody understand that? Now, Joseph was challenged by ethics and his uprightness. God tested him before he promoted him. Even though the promotion came by a cause. See, so many times you think promotion is just going to come. Oh, yes, you've been promoted. Come on. No, sometimes a promotion will come by a cause. Why? Because with the promotion, you have to be careful, because the promotion could not be according to the shift. Hello? Why? Because the devil would love to give you out of order, wouldn't he? Does everybody understand that? But see, sometimes in this, as you were faithful, God will cause something to happen. You'll show up somewhere and say, somebody will say, you apply for a job or something, and they'll offer you something different. Why? Because there's a cause of a shift, isn't there? Why? Because you've been faithful with a little, and he's going to give you more. See, then God will test your integrity and your uprightness. Because, see, you've been doing a great job, and everybody else is getting a raise but you. He wants to know where you stand. Oh, man, I can't believe it. Everybody else got a raise but me. And I'm doing the hardest I can. Well, are you laboring unto the Lord or unto you? Does everybody get that? See, the moment you begin to grumble and complain, you've come in agreement with the enemy. And the first thing that's going to happen is discouragement. Once discouragement comes in, the enemy begins to move rapidly. Because he knows he's got you all entangled in you. Hello?
Glory.
Okay, let's go a little further. Genesis 40. In verses 1 and 2, now it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord and the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. In verse 12, and Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now, I want you to understand something. These two men had a dream, and Joseph began to interpret the dreams to them. So, in the one here, he's the chief butler, I believe it is. He says in verse 13, now, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make what? Mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this place. So Joseph did a good deed. He was faithful. And he said, listen, man, I interpreted this for you. Please remember me. Please. I'm a good boy. I've been caused. I've been forced. And I'm waiting. I'm a good boy. Remember me. Remember, your life is rescued. You know what's going to happen to you. I sought the Lord and gave you the answer. Remember me. I'm a good person. Now let's go to verse 23. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. He did what? He forgot him. Wait a minute. But I did something good, and there was no return in this. Lord, I don't get this. I've been obedient. I have fasted. I have read. I've done my deliverance prayers. I don't know how much more I can take. He'll let you know how much more you can take. Genesis 41. Are you ready for this? Read verse 1. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. So it took 2 full years, and Joseph was still in the house of dungeon, waiting. But Joseph didn't change. Do you understand that? He was still obedient. Amen? 2 years later. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 32. And the dream, and then Pharaoh had the dream, right? And then the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God and God will shortly bring it to pass. So finally, after 2 years, Pharaoh has a dream and calls Joseph out. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming to, and store them up under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be to as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. Wow. Verse 39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." Wow. You talk about positioned. Right? Now, you think Joseph is ready for cooperation? You think he got it now? Okay, you force me, you cause me, I'm cooperating. I'm cooperating now. You know? See, when you go back and you reject the shift, you go back into force, cause, and cooperate. Does everybody get it? Why not just cooperate from the beginning? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Now, many things happened, right? Go to Genesis 45. Now, we got to understand something, that famine finally hit, and Joseph's family, his brothers, came to Egypt to get some of this reserved. Amen? Most of us know the story. In verse 4, it says, Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said to them, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Talk about a vision coming to pass, right? "But now do not, therefore, be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." Oh, do you understand that? Do you get that? So many times we're kicking and grumbling and complaining because of correction and direction and all kinds of other things. And God is just bringing us into a shift. Oh, hallelujah. He said, "Man, don't anger yourselves because you sold me." Oh, glory. Most of us wouldn't be saying that. Some of us would lay our Christianity down and take the person in the closet and express their fleshliness and then come out and put on a Christianity again. But God would know. Those are classic Christians. Hallelujah. But we see here that in verse 7, "And God sent me before you to prepare a prosperity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God." Did he get it? "And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and get up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry.'" Oh, glory to God. So a couple things happen here, and I'm not going to go deeply into this. God caused a rescue, but he first gave a vision. He knew that Joseph would not wait for the shift. He what? How did he get him in? Forced him into the shift. Then he caused him into the shift. Then Joseph cooperated with the shift, and a rescue came. And a restoration came. Do you understand this? Glory to God. In Romans 7 and 5 and 6, don't resist the shift. We are in one of the biggest shifts in the body of Christ right now. You don't have to figure out why you're here or what's what. Amen? But the only thing I can share with you is cooperate so you're not forced. And if you're totally willing to reject the shift, you'll become in bondage. And you'll miss God. Remember, what's the purpose of the shift? To change you into his image. Amen? See, instead of doing something you were created to do, it's about something you were created to be. Are you getting this? Instead of doing something you were created to do, it's about doing something you were created to be. That's the purpose of the shift. See, so when you miss and you reject the shift, you go into bondage. Amen? Well, bondage is a force, isn't it? So usually what happens is the individuals get forced back into the shift and hope. But the thing is it may take a while before the shift comes around again, especially for that individual. Okay. In Romans 7, 5, and 6, is everybody there? For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So what happens in this shift? Not only we are shifting in His image, but we are shifting and serving in the newness of the Spirit. Amen? See, even though God's bringing something new, it doesn't mean that He's doing a new thing. What He's doing is something new in you. Does everybody understand it? Why? Because He who's in Christ is a new creation. That is not a one-time event. That is a lifetime event. Amen? Philippians chapter 2. Shifting to His image. That's what we're doing, aren't we? Philippians 2, 5 and 8, 5 through 8. It says, let this, what? Mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal like God, but made himself of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Wow. So God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. One of the areas in the shifting to his image is to become like-minded with Christ. Does everybody understand that? All of these things are causing us to be like-minded of Christ. In Ezekiel 11 and verse 17, therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there, and they will take away all the detestable things and all the abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, which is unity, isn't it? And I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire for their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord. So we see here there's not only the mind of Christ, but there is the heart of Christ. Amen? We are to express the heart of Christ. Is everybody with me? Now I want to go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. It says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. So you have death and life in the power of your tongue. This is the area where we must decree His promised word. By changing the atmosphere. And how do you change that? By removing negative, discouragement, things that the enemy is trying to cause and resist you. Does everybody understand that? This is where you must take your authority. Why? Because you're in a shift. The shift is to change you into His image and likeness, isn't it? So there's things that you're going to have to do. You want to get the mind of Christ. You want to have the heart of Christ. And you want to decree the laws of Christ. Amen? So you can maintain in the shift. Oh, hallelujah. By removing negative thoughts from the atmosphere, the voice. You'll never make it. Hello? How could somebody do that to me? Hello? Come on, you know those negative voices? Those negative impressions? And Matthew 11 and verse 12. Make sure you know how to teach this tonight. Amen? Everything you get, you should be able to teach. If you're not getting it to teach, then what's the sense? If you're not coming here to get and to teach, then why come? Hello? Well, it's for me. It's for you to get it to teach. Because the only way you get it in your spirit is to have the attitude of how am I going to teach it? Do you get it? That's how you get it. How am I going to teach this? If you're not here to get it and to teach it, then you're here for the wrong reason. And it won't get in your spirit, and the devil will steal everything, and you'll miss the shift, and you get right caught up into it. Does everybody get it? You're called to teach it. How are the world going to know the truth? Hallelujah. In Matthew 11, 12, you want to go to 12? Let's go. Can I hear 13? No. Holy shift. Yeah. And verse 12, come on. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by what? Force. Force. So how are you going to take it by force if you can't teach it? You're the one who will be taken. Whatever you get, you should be able to teach. Ooh. Fight, resist, surrender. You know, you must resist the surrender to fear and dive in the shift. The shift never produces sin. We must learn this kingdom mentality and watch for the suddenly. Amen? We must learn this kingdom mentality. This is a kingdom mentality that we just got here tonight. We must learn this and know this and be able to teach it and be ready for the suddenlies. You know, David said something very powerful. He said, I know that when I awake, I will awake in your image. Well, we're going to awaken his image, but we need his image now for the world to see. Does everybody get it? We are in a shift. This is one of the largest shifts of the body of Christ. We must be ready to cooperate in a sudden moment. There is a shift going on. Walls are coming down. Denominations are melting. And unity is coming forth. It's no longer about a denomination. It's about a purpose and a will. All kinds of things are happening. There is a gathering and there is a scattering. Spiritual shift. You're in it. Welcome to the shift of the Spirit. Amen. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Master. We ask for your help so that we may cooperate. We repent for any area of resisting the shift. And we submit to you right now every area of our life. We desire to be pleasing to you and to be a part of the rescue and restoration for the vision that is coming to pass and the preparation for the great harvest. We thank you and we love you. Father, I pray each and every one be imparted with this revelation and where they stand according to your shift. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.